Chapter 4. Joel pushed off with a breaststroke. After a few of those and a couple more dog paddles, he gave up and put his face down so he could swim properly. He kept his eyes closed underwater, though. Every few strokes, he raised his head, glanced toward the sandbar, and realigned himself. The current was pushing him downstream, and if he wasn't careful, he would miss the sandbar entirely. He could hear Tony splashing wildly behind him, puffing and spewing water, his hands flailing. He couldn't figure out why he had never noticed what a poor swimmer Tony was before now. Joel touched bottom for a moment to catch his breath, peering back towards the riverbank, wiping the water from his face and trying to forget how dirty it was. Tony came to an agitated stop behind him, and Joel faced him. "If you can't swim any better than that, you'll never make the swim team next year." Tony's chest was heaving. He gasped for breath as if he had been swimming for miles. "That's why I want to work out every day. You and me, I'll get better. We both will." "How about working out at the pool?" Joel asked, feeling reasonable and somehow older than Tony, the way he often did. "It's cleaner, and we won't get into trouble for going there." "How about working out in the middle of Main Street?" Tony replied. "Then everybody can see." He was still breathing hard. "What difference does it make if anybody sees?" "All the difference in the world. Do you want Rundel and Schmidt noticing what we're doing? If they see, then they'll want to try out for the team too. So, let them try out. Who cares?" Joel couldn't figure out what was going on. This wasn't like Tony. He was always everybody's friend. So much so that sometimes Joel couldn't help but feel a little bit jealous, wanting to keep Tony to himself. Maybe Tony knew his form was bad and he was embarrassed. He'd probably never had lessons at the Y like most of the kids. And the last thing in the world he was ever willing to do was admit that there was something he didn't know. Joel could still remember the time Tony had claimed to be an expert at hang gliding. He jumped out of his upstairs window with the sheet tied to his wrists and ankles. Tony said afterward that the reason it hadn't worked was because he hadn't jumped from high enough. The doctor had said Tony was lucky to have gotten off with only a broken arm. "Come on," Tony prodded. "You said out to the sandbar. Are you giving up?" "You sure you'll make it?" Joel eyed his friend, still faintly heaving chest meaningfully. "You look pretty tired to me." Tony gave him a shove, almost caught him off balance. "Swim," he commanded, and Joel plunged into the water and resumed swimming. Tony started beside him, but immediately dropped behind. Joel could hear him blowing and puffing like a whale. "It's not so bad," Joel said to himself, beginning to get his rhythm, discovering the angle that made it possible to keep gaining against the current. Maybe Tony was right, and this river swimming would be a good way to practice. Now that his father had decided he was old enough to be allowed a bit of freedom, he started the side stroke. He could watch where he was going better that way, keep tabs on how far he still had to go. He couldn't see Tony coming behind, but he didn't need to see him. He could tell he was there because he sounded like an old paddle wheeler. Only about 20 more feet, Joel caught a towhead in the bottom for a second to a look ahead. The water foamed and eddied around the sandbar, as if it were in more of a hurry there than other places. He put his head down and began the crawl, angling upriver against the current. He was gasping for breath each time he turned his head. He wasn't really tired, though. A little nervous, maybe. In the pool, the side was always nearby, something to grab onto. Still, he was a pretty good swimmer, and he was doing all right. He might be good enough for the swim team by the time he got to junior high in the fall. He should have thought of practicing in the river himself. It had been a good idea, Tony was full of good ideas. When they both reached the sandbar, he would apologize, tell Tony he was sorry for what he'd said about his dad. He'd tell him he was sorry about saying Tony would be afraid to swim a little ways, too. Made it! He called out. When his hand scraped bottom with his approach to the sandbar, he stood up. And I beat you, too! There was no answer. Joel turned to check. Behind him stretched the river, smooth and glistening, reddish-brown, but there was no sign of Tony. There was nothing to indicate that Joel wasn't alone. Hadn't come into the water alone to start with, except, of course, he hadn't. He started to walk back, pushing through the water impatiently, as though it were a crowd holding him back. Tony! He yelled. Where are you? A faint echo of his own voice, high like the indistant meowing of a cat, bounced back at him from the bluffs. But there was no other reply. Joel kept walking forward, pushing against the wall of the water. Maybe Tony had turned back. Maybe he was hiding in the bushes somewhere along the bank, watching him, waiting for him to come unglued. All right, Tony Zabrinsky, I know your tricks. Come out, wherever you are. There was no answer, not even a giggle from the bushes or some rustling. Doggone you! Tony, if you mess with my clothes. But he could see his clothes, the pile of them, lying where he had left them, his red t-shirt marking the spot. Tony! He began to move forward in lunges, gasping for breath, half choking. Tony had to be hiding. He had to be just off to the side somewhere, laughing. There was no other possibility. It was when Joel stepped off into the nothingness of the deep water, the river bottom suddenly gone from beneath his feet as if he had hit a black hole in space, that he knew. As he choked and fought his way to the surface, he understood everything. Tony couldn't swim. Not really. And Tony had gone under.